Let me welcome you all to this service this afternoon when we say goodbye to a very special lady. It is a time of sadness, and that's natural, but it's also a time of joy, because Shirley, we know, is with the Lord. So thank you for coming. On behalf of the DeLine family, thank you for your encouragement and your help during these days. But I trust this service will be one in which we will celebrate the life of Shirley DeLine together. Just think about her. She loved us all. She took us all in. I know she became a surrogate grandmother to my children when we moved here many years ago. You can't beat her cookies, if you could eat them all. No one makes bigger cookies than Shirley. I want you to know that the hymns that we sing today are hymns that Shirley has picked out. And so, as we sing, these are some of her favorite hymns. And so, we just wanted you to know that as we go along. Well, let's begin by lifting our voices in praise, by taking the hymn books, the blue hymn book there in front of you, turning to hymn 402, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, 402. And if you are able, will you stand with me as we sing? Pray together. Our Father in heaven, your word would tell us that it is better to be in the house of mourning than the house of feasting. For here we're reminded that this is the end of every man. Your word tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And so, Father, as we've gathered here with a sense of sorrow, for we will dearly miss our sister, Father, we also do not sorrow as those who have no hope because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we're thankful for his willingness to come and give his life, that through him we might have life and have it more abundantly. And so, Father, we would ask that in this service that you would come and meet with us. May your presence be among us. And we pray that through it all, your name would be glorified and magnified in this place. And that there would be a sense when it's all done that God has met with us. So we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Would you remain standing? Inside your bulletin is the responsive reading from Psalm 23. I will read the non-underlined parts. If you will respond by reading those parts that are underlined, please, from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul.
He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake.
And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies.
You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
You may be seated. In the book of James, James reminds us that when it comes to our life, it is but a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. That's how life is described. Here for a short time and then we're gone. Job says this, our life is like a swift runner. So as you think about someone who runs track, you think about someone who starts, runs, and then it ends. And Job says that's what our life is like. We're like on a journey. We're like in a race. It has a beginning and it will have an end. As we think of the life of Shirley, her life was that way. It started. In fact, it started on December 13th. I almost hear her say, don't you say that, but I'm going to. 1944. Things were a bit different back in 1944. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was president. A stamp would cost you 3 cents. A car would cost you $1,220. It almost takes that to put tires on a car now. Gasoline was 21 cents a gallon. And you may say, wow, the good old days. But let me remind you that in 1944, the minimum wage was 30 cents an hour. I think McDonald's workers may have something to protest then. 30 cents an hour. And the average income was only $2,600. 1944, her race began. Her life was marked by joy, by sadness, by challenges, by trials. She married Nelson Dean DeLine November 14th, 1970. And they had one son, Aaron. And if I heard her say it once, I heard her say it many times. It's been quite different having one son and moving in with a family where there are seven children. Quite a difference. But she would always say, "But I love them all. And I'm glad to be here." She has those seven grandchildren, Faith and William, Michaela, Calvin, Katie, Isaac, and Hosanna. There's no doubt that Shirley loved her family, and she delighted in you. She has one brother, Jack, and his wife, Jan Keller, one sister, Vicky, and her husband, Terry Stone, and many nieces and nephews. As I've thought about Shirley's life, I've thought, the one word that kept coming to my mind was simply the word love. She loved her family. She loved her church. We're going to miss her. Going to miss looking right down over there and seeing her Lord's Day after Lord's Day. She loved those that made up the church family. It was always interesting to me that when anybody ever left the church or was gone for several weeks, I would visit with her and she'd say, "Well, I haven't seen so-and-so in a while." And I would say, "Yeah, I think they're looking around or, you know, apparently going to be leaving the church." And her immediate response was always, "Was it something I did?" And I would have to convince her that it wasn't. I mean, usually it was something I did. Not that she did. But that was always her concern. Because she loved the people that made up this assembly. And she loved you. She loved children. Some of us can remember her working in that cafeteria there at Lenawee Christian School. Getting to know those children there. She may only had one son, but she had a lot of children. Or working at the 4-H, Lenawee County 4-H Fair. Yeah. How many of us, our children, became a part of 4-H because of their connection with Shirley? She was a special lady. She loved her family. She loved her church. She loved you. She loved children. But most importantly, Shirley loved God. And that didn't come just because she was Shirley. That came because of God's grace. She came to understand that she was a sinner and needed a Savior. And God, by His grace, revealed to her the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And she trusted in Him. And she loved Him. And wanted to please Him and serve Him. There were times she would say to me, I just can't do as much. I wish I could work in Awana. I just can't. I wish I could." And I'd say, "Shirley, still pray, don't you? Do that. What a service." I looked in my files and I found when folks join the Reformed Baptist Church, they write out their testimonies. And I found Shirley's testimony that she wrote out many years ago when she became a member of this church. Let me read a portion of it to you. These are her words. These aren't mine. These are hers. She says, "I was raised in a home where God was the center. My parents made sure that we were always in church and at all the stated meetings. There was one particular time that stands out when I was attending Bible school at church. The gospel was once again set forth, and God began working in my heart, showing me Christ's death. In Christ's death, there can be forgiveness of sin. I sensed my need of a Savior, and I turned in faith and repentance to Him. It was then, I believe, that I was converted, and I became a child of God. Since those days and into the present, I have found Jesus to be my friend and my companion. There have been many times of difficulty in my life, yet by God's grace, I continue to serve and love Him. And that was her testimony to the very end when she left this world. She will be missed, but thank God for the time we had with her, and thank God for the example and all that we've learned sitting at that dear lady's feet. She loved children. And therefore, let me read one passage of Scripture found there in Luke chapter 8. Just a couple of verses. Verses 15 and 16. Hear the Word of God. And they were bringing each of their babies to Him, that is to Christ, so that He would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they began to rebuke them. But Jesus called for them, saying, "Permit the children to come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Well, certainly, as you read that, those verses of Scripture surely comes to mind, because it was her desire to influence as many children to come to Jesus and know Him. Please take your hymn books again with me and turn to hymn 633, that familiar children's hymn, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." 633, we'll remain seated as we sing.
Tells me so. Jesus loves me, He who died heaven's gates to open wide. Let His little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me still, though I'm very weak and ill. From His shining throne on high, watch me where I lie. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. If I love Him when I die, He will take me home on high. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Amen.
Well, now we want to open it up for a time of sharing. So someone has to be first. All right. So is there someone who would like to come up and share something about Sherman?
One of the first things that Sherman talked about was playing at Grandma Keller's. We played hide and seek with all the cousins, and that was one of her favorite things. One year we lived out here on a farm on 34, and we got scooters for Christmas. We had a bank barn, but I don't know which had the most miles, the scooters or our knees. We walked to school, and she was always giving me fits in the morning because I eat part of my dinner on the way to school. I can eat yours, whatever you don't want from me. Please. But one thing we had between us two was she didn't like to go outside to the chores. She would if she really had to. So we made a deal. I did her chores outside. She did my inside chores. That worked out good for me. So, and there's one promise that God gives us. Help, hope, and a home. And he gave her that. And she was in a chair for several months, years. But last Friday, she was running. And she ran to God. And I know she gave him a hug. And I know she had to whisper, "Do you have any chocolate chips and molasses up here? I got a lot of cookies to make." But we'll miss her. But we know, without a doubt, she's in good hands.
I'm a friend of Shirley DeLine. What a privilege that is. We've known each other a long, long time. I would say that it was one of those relationships where we became a fixed point in each other's lives. She was there for me, and I was there for her. She prayed for me, yes, but she did for me, too. We love to share stories about our sons, who are friends, and also about our grandchildren. And I remember one time we were sitting together watching our grandchildren play together, and we looked at each other and we thought, for living on earth, it doesn't get any better than this. She gave me a picture a while back, and I've kept it. It's a picture of two little girls in a garden. They are dressed in their Sunday best, and they're holding hands, and they're looking forward with great expectation. There's big smiles on their faces. They're a little shy, but they seem to be so happy. And I said, "Well, Shirley, what is this?" And she said, "Oh, Joe," you know how she can touch the heartstrings. She says, "Well, Joe," she says, "that's you and me." And I said, "It is?" She says, "Yes. Now, since I'm older than you, I'm the taller one." But I said, "Well, Shirley, what does this mean?" And she said, "Well, I'm introducing you to Jesus." And so, au revoir, Shirley, until then.
My name is Vicki Stone, Shirley's sister. I was her favorite sister. And we always had a lot of good times together. And about the last year, about every week, she'd come over and stay at our house. Every month, I mean, one week of the month. And, oh, we had a lot of fun. We really did. She'd come over and Terry would call it over and put it away. And she'd come out and say, and I'd say, "Okay." And the first thing she wanted to do was go to the Dollar Tree. The next thing she wanted to do, Terry pushed us over to Walmart, put the wheelchairs in the trunk, and come back in, and Shirley'd say, I never ran one of these motorized carts. Never. Well, she ran around that Walmart faster than anybody you ever seen. She had a ball. And then we'd come home, and she'd go through all the stuff she bought for the grandkids. Katie this, and oh, everybody something. And she was just a twinkle in her eye. And then she'd come out, and I loved it when she'd hit your hand and go, Vic, you know better than that. And then we'd watch Walker. And after Walker at night, we had to watch Family Feud. Then she'd go to bed. And then I'd get up about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd go around the corner until she was awake. She was sitting on the edge of the bed. And I'd say, would you like something? Would you like some ice? No, I got ice. Would you like a popsicle? Oh, I'd love one. Anything but pineapple, she liked. And then we'd sit and reminisce about the old times in church and talk and talk. It was a lot of fun. Then we'd go back to bed. She'd wake up about 11 o'clock in the morning for Price is Right. She says, I should have woke up earlier. And I said, why? You're on vacation. And we always enjoyed it, and I loved it. And then I loved it when Aaron and Rebecca went away on trips. I loved it because Shirley called me all the time. I'd call her all the time. I had the itinerary of her all day. And then we get to call each other late at night because she never wanted to call when they were there because she didn't want to wake anybody up. So right after 9:30, I'd call her and say, Walker's coming on. Okay, I'll watch him. Then after 11, she'd call me back and say, that was my favorite one. Then the next night she'd say, no, that one was my favorite night. But I always thought it was cool because when they went away, we'd call each other late at night. And she was okay, you guys. She was fine. And we always had a lot of fun. But one thing I really, really appreciate was Shirley always told me about every time somebody would come to visit. When you and Trish would come every week. She never forgot that. She always looked forward to that. And when any of the church members would come, she'd sit and tell me everyone and what they talked about and how nice they were. And I thank you for taking the time out to do that. But most of all, Shirley, thank you for being my sister in the memories.
I don't know how glad she was to see me every week, but I always brought her a cup of coffee, and she delighted in seeing that. Anybody else?
I'm Shirley's cousin, and hopefully this will be a short story. But one year, she was hosting the Evers Keller reunion in Morenci. And we took my mother, and my mom went most places with us after she passed, and my father passed away. And we got in the front door, and she came rolling up. Oh, Aunt Joanne, I'm so glad you're here. And it was nice that they brought you. And then she apologized. She says, you know, I hope you'll forgive me for greeting you in my wheelchair. But I was out in the kitchen, and I put something in the oven, and I kind of turned around, and my leg fell off. Now, isn't that the limit? And this is what I told Jack. I will always feel that Shirley was one of the most positive and optimistic people I knew. And she simply... refused to be cast down all the time, and she had some very difficult challenges in her life, but she was a sweetheart to all of us, and she will be dearly missed.
Well, Shirley was my cousin, and I used to have family reunions years ago when we was kids, and every family reunion, Shirley and Vicki, I don't remember if Jack was in on that, they had to sing. And it was requested, so I remember them way back then when they were singing. Always some kind of a hymn, one or two. But when I seen in the casket the pictures of the grandkids had made for Grandma, That brings back so many memories when Shirley would babysit kids, and she would give them pages coloring to color. It wasn't enough for her just to let them color. She always had to give them eyes to put on, or glitter, or material, something that they would add to their picture that they've colored, so that when they took it home, it wasn't just a picture to color, it was something to give to their mom or whoever to put on the refrigerator, and made it extra special. I grew up in the little town of Medina, next to the house that her husband, Nelson Dean Devine, lived in. There's only a field that separated us, and so many years there was gardens in there and all that, but we have very many fond memories of Medina. And when there for a while, Shirley was coming to our church, I called her the Dorcas of Medina, because Shirley was a worker. Shirley was a doer and liked to make people feel so special that I think that was the gift that God gave her to do that, because she wanted everyone to know that you are a child of God. God made you. God loves you. God gave his son up for you. And how can we not make things special for people? So, Shirley, I'm so glad that she was a part of my life, not only family connections, but friend connections. But she is a lady I know I will never forget. Every time I go past the house that Dean built for her, I think of her. But I am so glad that I heard about the 7 grandkids. And she loved Aaron. Was so proud of Aaron. Every time Aaron would get into, when he got into the therapy thing, when he became a pastor, I would hear every time where he was going to school, what he was doing with his life. And she was just so very proud that she had a son. That she said, I wished his dad could have known him as a man. And I listened to his laugh, but she did my therapy on my knee. So Aaron and I had lots of time to reminisce some Medina and different things through Medina. In fact, every time I'd go in for a session, he would say, okay, so do you remember? Oh, yeah. And then we would talk about it. But Aaron so reminds me of his dad. And that man loved his wife so dearly that she was special. She was just a very, very special lady. And I know Aaron is going to carry on that legacy of making people feel so special. God love you all.
My name is Paul Pelfant, and my parents were very close friends to Shirley's parents. And so we got to know Shirley, and I've known Shirley since she was a little girl. And this is a little bit later in her life. How many of you have ever had any of Shirley's peanut brittle? You have not lived till you've eaten Shirley's peanut brittle. She makes the best peanut brittle. Well, for many, many Christmases, Shirley Britt would bring a box of peanut brittle to the Palpin house. And we always looked forward to that. It was so good. And this one Christmas, she brought it a couple of weeks before Christmas. And all of our children are adult children. They live away from Adrian, or they were going to college at the time or something. And Gail and I thought, well, maybe we should sample this peanut brittle to be sure it's okay. We knew it would be okay. So we sampled it. And we kept sampling it. And we kept sampling it. The box is empty. Well, our children come home for Christmas. And you know what one of the very first things they asked? Has Shirley brought her peanut brittle yet? And we looked at each other and go, oh no. because they really look forward to Shirley's peanut brittle. So my wife very sheepishly saw Shirley and mentioned the dilemma, how much our children were looking forward to her peanut brittle, and her recalcitrant parents ended up eating it all. Well, just before Christmas, Shirley comes to our door. By the way, we have three children with three boxes of peanut brittle. And she looks at Gail and me and says, "Don't you touch it." So that's a little story about Shirley. She was always so giving, wasn't she? Just so giving to everyone. Such a heart. Thank you.
My name is Jen, and I was one of Shirley's nieces. And my fondest memories, of course, are food-related. I don't know how it couldn't be, right? So how many of you, the Buckeyes are your favorite? Okay. How many of the cookies? Chocolate chips, peanut butter, and of course we mentioned the peanut butter. She attended LCS when she was working in the cafeteria. And sorry to the rest of you, but Danielle and I would get some free on the sides. Every once in a while she'd slip us a cookie and say, "It's just for you." She also provided, at our wedding, she gave some hors d'oeuvres, and we didn't get any. They were all gone before we got there, but she was very generous. She was also very thoughtful. She would write letters and encourage those to tell them about the Lord. She was very passionate about that. And I appreciate that in my life. Also for family. And one more thing that I can't not share. If you knew her very well, she had a lot of stuff. We never laughed so hard, not this past summer, but the summer before. She helped four of my kids with their 4-H cooking project. And we just started laughing and giggling, and the stories we would talk about and share, but she just had a lot of spunk and so much fun. We just had fun.
Oh, I'm Isaac, and I love Grandma so much. And I like her a lot. I love her.
I haven't been here very long in this church. It's been about 4 months. 4 or 5 months, I think. Maybe. Has it been about 4 or 5 months?
Yeah.
It was in April after my surgery, because you came visit me. When I took care of Shirley on Christmas Day, so Aaron and his family could go and see Rebecca's family, we played games, and then we finally went to sleep. And she kept me up all night long. Just talk. And I said, "Shirley, you remind me of Jacob, my dog. He'd keep me awake half in the night sometimes." I said, "He just wouldn't leave me alone." I said, "Shirley, go to sleep. Please go to sleep." And next thing I knew, another half hour. "Hi, you awake?" "No, I'm not awake." "Why are you talking then?" And then, till the end, I got to take care of Shirley. She's a blessing. A very blessing woman. An angel. And I just thank God. We share stories. And one story she talked about Aaron. Aaron got home from school, and next thing she knew, her cookies were all gone in the cookie jar. And so she says, every time she'd come home, she'd see the cookies were gone in the cookie jar. And she couldn't figure out where the cookies were going. And the next thing she knew, Aaron was coming home from school eating all her cookies. What a wonderful woman she was. And she's home. She's home with the Lord. She's home with her mom and her dad and her husband. I just thank God I got to meet this lady.
I was Shirley's cookie monster. I was her neighbor many, many years, pastor of the church and the community there. And she was a great blessing to me. And all she asked from me, I'll make this short, was, do you have any egg cartons? Do you have any toilet paper rolls? Do you have any paper towel rolls? All that she wanted from me was that. Because she was an industrious woman, and she worked and she labored with a love that I've never seen in anybody else's heart. And I praise God for her.
I've been a classroom teacher at Illinois Christian for 26 years, and in the time that I knew Shirley, really early on when I was young and in school, and I watched her go through many challenging things, and always she took it with her faith. Her faith was strong, and it brought her through the challenges that she had. And I benefited from her serving heart, because she would come into my classroom, and she would, once a week, she would bring baked goods, and she would work with the kids. She would give them crafts to do. She delighted in serving and in having children around her. And she even took on the task of having an overnight with all the boys and with all the girls at her house at least 2 years, maybe three. And I marveled and I appreciated what she did. And I know she has to be just praising God in at His throne today with the people that she loves that are there. And we thank the Lord for Shirley.
Hi, my name is Erin Keller, and I have a very fond memory of Shirley. She was Aunt Shirley to me, even though I don't think that's really what she was. But I only saw her about once a year at summertime family reunions. And when I was younger, I couldn't understand the concept of how she didn't have a leg. And so I got the story that it was her magic leg. And so every time she would take it off, she would say, "Oh, it's just my magic leg. Don't worry, don't worry." And even though I only saw her about once a year, she always remembered to ask me about my school, about my singing, and it just meant so much to me that even though we only got to see each other so little, she took the time out of her heart to remember things about me and remember to ask me how I was doing. And she was so kind, and I always look forward to seeing her, and I'll miss her. I'll miss her a lot.
My name is Michelle, and we also saw Aunt Shirley at family reunions, and we were the recipients of some, my kids were the recipients of some of her crafts and her toilet paper rolls that she glued together and made binoculars and made necklaces out of string and cut up colored straws, and we will treasure those.
I'm Ron Keller. I'm Shirley's uncle. Her dad, Dick Richard, was my oldest brother, and he's now been gone 18 years since 1997. I knew her parents well and lived with them and followed them from farm to farm. I've lost track of how many different farm places they've lived in. But she was a remarkable person. During the prelude, the pianist was playing, It hit me right between the eyes, and I said, how appropriate. That's Shirley. Because the words to that music that I recall were, a faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. She was very, very conscious of that. I cannot think of a more selfless person. Even when she lost her foot, she diminished the pain and did not want anyone to feel sorry for her, but she went on living. And peanut brittle. Maybe that peanut brittle describes a bit of her life because it symbolizes her self-giving attitude. I grew up on the Keller farm on Packard Road near Seneca, Lenawee County, Morenci, Michigan. And her parents lived just down the road east of us when she was born. I was 8 years old. I remember it. I'd never had a niece or a nephew. She was the niece. Until Jack came along. And then Vicky. And by then, they had lived in several different farms. Well, I'm here to lead us in prayer. And I would ask that you bow your head and be thankful to God for Shirley. Almighty God, our Creator, it is from you that we come, and unto you each of our spirits return. You have been our dwelling place in all generations. You are our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Grant us your blessing in this hour, O God, and enable us so to put our trust in you that our spirits may grow calm and our hearts be comforted. Lift our eyes beyond the shadows of earth and help us to see the light of eternity. So may we find grace and strength for this and every time of need. O God, we thank you for Shirley's life. Though her life was often filled with trouble and pain and disappointment, she stayed extremely close to you and trusted you in every event of her life. And she is a powerful living example that we will not soon forget, because next year and the year after and the years after that, we will still remember our beloved Shirley. She experienced physical pain, broken, painful relationships, extreme disappointments that pierced her soul, but she never turned away from you. So, loving God, bring her to your precious gift of eternal life and help us to emulate her life in our lives. We thank you for her faithful parents, Dick and Bertha, who nurtured her in faith. We thank you for her wonderful son, Aaron, to whom she gave birth and who sustained her through all the rest of her life by providing for her dwelling and sustenance, and for Rebecca, as well as their children, Faith, William, Michaela, Calvin, Catherine, Isaac, and Hosanna, who brought her such peace and joy and consolation during the closing years and days of her life. They have been God's blessing to Shirley. And so now, O merciful God, into your hands we commit your servant Shirley. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints of life. Earth to earth, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, but her spirit we commend to you, O God, remembering how Jesus said upon the cross, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. I'm an ordained United Methodist pastor, which was mostly part of our tradition until Dick met Bertha, she was a Baptist, and that arm of the church went Baptist. And here we are. Isn't it wonderful that it works that way? Well, I shall not forget this day, because it's like it puts a mark on my forehead that says, Shirley.
Well, Uncle Ron, you've come home as a Baptist, right? Is that what you were saying? Better late than never.
I'm not late.
Proverbs 31 and verse 10 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." And that is my testimony about my dear mother. This is difficult to do, as you can imagine, but I feel that I must do it. So many of you, thank you, have told your stories about her. I want to tell her story. I must do that. Each one of you have a story, and I trust that this is a blessing to you to review your own life story. And it's interesting, the things I have come with, I've come to five words as I think of my mom's life, that five words that her life speaks to me about. And the very first one that came to my mind, many of you spoke about, and that is generous. Generous. She was a giving woman, wasn't it? She was a giving woman. I don't feel like I can add to the stories that you told, but I remember that was a little bit frustrating to me as she lived in our home, and we would get her groceries and fill, you know, try to get her enough food for in her fridge for herself, and I'd come down and I'd say, "Mom, where'd all your food go?" And she said, "Well, Isaac or Hosanna asked for something." I said, "Well, that's your food, Mom." And she said, "Well, what kind of grandma would I be if I didn't give it to him?" That was her life, wasn't it? Giving. As one of you spoke, she reminded my wife and I of Dorcas. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 36, it says, "In Joppa there was a disciple named Dorcas who was always doing good and helping the poor." Always doing good and helping the poor. It reminded me last Sunday we had to make an announcement that at the missioner, two Sundays ago, before she passed away, to make an announcement that she had signed up to provide bread for the Lenawee County Mission, as she always had done for many, many years. And she couldn't make bread. She was disappointed with that. But she'd asked us when we got home from the mission, how'd it go? Was there enough bread for the mission? But let me also remind you that most of the things that she made, she couldn't eat. You think about that. Most of the things she made, she could not eat herself, being a severe diabetic. And so that epitomizes her selflessness, doesn't it? What an example. But it came, I know my mother, and it came because she knew Jesus, who gave himself up for us. And that's the way that she lived her life. She gave her life up for others. But the second word that my mom reminds me of is that of suffering. Suffering. Why do bad things happen to good people? And as I, those of you who know my life, it's, some of you have mentioned that. We ask that question, don't we? I ask myself that question. Why does a life full of so much good, generous kindness, full of so much suffering? And we're reminded, as the scriptures tell us, that we should take our whys to God. And that's what the way that my mom dealt with that. She lived a life of trust as well in the midst of her suffering. Because see, after all the suffering, we consider the questions of life. We have to trust God because we know that He knows better than we do. And we know that He knows what He's doing. I love to quote at times like this an old English hymn that says, God is too wise to be mistaken, too good to be unkind. My mom knew that, God. But she suffered. She suffered caring for her mom. And really, I think as she was caring for her mom when she was dying, she really gave her life for her mom, because it was soon after that she got severe diabetes. She was laying in a bed in her bed at home, and she almost passed away when I was a senior in high school. She went into a diabetic coma. She had worn herself out so much. And I remember seeing her almost lifeless body laying there at Bixby and when I was a senior. And that was very difficult. She suffered deeply. And then she decided that what she needed to do was exercise. And I agreed with her. Okay, so she started exercising. Well, she exercised her foot to the point of being fractured and kept walking on it. And then, for many years she was in a boot. And I'll never forget Rebecca and I, when we were first married, our first year of marriage, she came to our home in Tecumseh, and she said, I think there's something wrong with my foot. And I said, well, take your boot off, Mom. And there was a wide open sore. And I said, we got to go to the hospital. And she had it amputated. Tremendous suffering. And after she had it amputated, she kept going, as you have testified. And she was my first amputee patient. And I learned a lot from her as my patient. In and out of the hospital for years, there were many times where Rebecca and I thought that she was going to pass away. She suffered deeply physically. But her deepest sufferings were with regards to her relationships. It hurt her deeply. Many of you may not know, but she was married 3 times. And I feel that I must tell her story. You understand where my mom was coming from. She had 3 marriages. The first marriage was very brief, but it was very painful. She, the man whom she married, tied her up, beat her. He was taken away. But before he was taken away, he had forced an abortion on her body. That hurt her deeply, as you can imagine. Her 3rd marriage, again, an unfaithful husband. And I'll never forget, I won't go into the story because she didn't want me to, but I'll never forget when that mess all blew up, she was sitting downstairs in her kitchen, our downstairs kitchen door, and she said, "Please just let me die." And I'm so glad that she was in our home at that time, because I feel like if she wasn't, she would have died at that point, suffered deeply. But her, ironically, her only good marriage was for 5 years to a man who loved her faithfully, my dad. And ironically, though, see, they were married in 1970. I was born in 1973. They were busy during the time that I was born building a house. Some of you know that house in Medina. And I was 5 months old. They moved into the house. Right after they moved into the house, they found out that he had cancer. For a year and a half, she would often tell me the stories of how she suffered with him. He had chemo and radiation, and it was very painful. He was so sick. But she stood by him and suffered with him for a year and a half. Tremendous suffering. But she would often quote, and I think of this verse, Romans 8:28. You know it, I'm sure. We know that for those who love God and who are called according to His purpose, all things work together for good. All things. And I love to say and think about, and I said to her many times, all things, that means just the good things, Mom? No. That doesn't mean just the good things, it means the bad things too. Because my mom knew a God who was in control, a God who ordained and who brought everything into our lives, and he is the one who loves us, and He's wise. And He's able to work all those things, even the bad things, out for our good. And that's the story of my mom's life. She touched you. She blessed you. She comforted you because God had comforted her in the midst of her tremendous, unspeakable suffering. See, God, I think it's C.S. Lewis who said, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but He shouts to us in our pain. And God spoke to my mom in the midst of her pain, and that's how she spoke to you. The third word that my mom's life reminds me of is family. In a day of the corruption and the decay of the family, we were reminded by my mom's life, I believe, that so many of the blessings of life come to us through family. Through family. And she had a wonderful family. She loved her family. We love her family. Thank you all for being here. I remember the farm. I spent many days on the farm there with my Grandpa Keller. I have so many memories. She loved to talk about growing up on the farm. And one of her last trip was, as I've moved to the country in the last several years, and got that itch, you know, to start a mini family farm, to my wife's consternation. And but her last trip was going. I took her to Hillsdale, and we got 2 feeder pigs. And in October, and I wheeled her out to the auction, and she loved that. And we had a blast. She wore herself out so much helping me get ready for the pigs that she slept in, I think, till noon the next day. She was so tired. But her extended family, and she brought so many into her family who were not her physical family. Her family was so important to her, and she was loyal to her family. And she was devoted to me. She was devoted to me. That goes without saying. You know that, don't you? I wish I would have taken better care of her. I wish I would have been a better son. But she loved me unconditionally. I was leaving for college. She sent me goodie baskets. She always prayed. I could always talk with her. She was devoted to my... She was selflessly gave herself up for my children. And she loved them more than she loved herself. She had a wide heart. So many were invited into her home, into her family, whether it was the children at church or the 4-H here in Lenawee County. She was always thinking of others' needs. And again, reminds me of the Lord Jesus. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. The fourth word that my mom's life reminds me of is that of humor. Humor. Striking that a life full of so much suffering and sadness and brokenness. But I'm reminded of Proverbs 17:22. I often quote to patients, "Laughter does good like medicine." And my mom found that. A joyful heart is like good medicine. She laughed with children. She grew up in a family with a sense of humor. I remember a couple stories about a man. I don't remember exactly what the relation was, but they always called him Great Uncle Sam. And Great Uncle Sam, her dad had a tremendous sense of humor. I remember her talking about Great Uncle Sam, who always saved everything, including eggshells. For some reason, and the kids got a kick out of that. But also, her dad, my Grandpa Keller, had played a joke on Great Uncle Sam one day, and Great Uncle Sam always drove his car, I believe, going forward into the garage. Well, Grandpa backed it into the garage, and Uncle Sam got into the side that he thought was the driver's side, and he couldn't find the steering wheel. And he came in the house and said, "Richard, somebody stole my steering wheel." One of my great memories many times was of going camping with all the kids and all the children of Richard and Bertha and us kids would go camping at Harrison Lake, and we'd have dinners like you wouldn't believe, and we'd have a great time camping. But I remember my grandpa, and I love camping, and I still take my kids every year to Harrison Lake camping in memory of that. And I remember Grandpa would sneak an aerosol can, empty aerosol can, into the campfire. And all we'd be sitting around the campfire, and all of a sudden, boom! I have not mastered the art of doing that yet, but I want to, without hurting anybody, of course. Makes my wife worry. But let me tell you a few stories about Mom. Mr. Palpin is here, and one of the memories I remember was on his 50th birthday. How many years ago was that, Paul? That was over 20 years ago. They grew up on farms together, and somehow somebody fell into a cow pie. It must have been Mr. Palpin. But for his 50th birthday, she had wrapped this. I remember looking at this. I was used to seeing cookies in tinfoil, but she had wrapped this cow pie in tinfoil and given it to him for his birthday. I don't know. Did you keep that, Mr. Palpin? But the last week of my mom's life, I wasn't sure how coherent she was, and we had family around, and Jack's family, and I wasn't sure how much she was, you know, able to process things. And so we were getting ready for dinner, and I went downstairs and I said, "Hey, Mom, what do you want to eat? We got some fruit salad." She said, "Oh, I think that sounds good." I wasn't really sure if she was understanding what I was saying, though. So I said, "Mom, we put some pineapple in the fruit salad." And she immediately said, "Don't you give that to me." She hated pineapple. So I knew that she was still with me. And you see, you guys are laughing. That's wonderful. She would love that. Laughter does good like medicine. Proverbs says. I remember, I think it was 2 days, 2 mornings before she passed away, I was downstairs early in the morning, and she was talking to me about she had to go out, and I had to get everybody around because they needed to decorate all these houses. And I wasn't, you know, I'm not sure that she was understanding things correctly. So I wanted to test her a little bit, and I said, "Mom, I need to go to work soon." I said, "Do you remember where I work?" And she had that spunk, like one of you said, and she hit me on the leg. She says, "Of course, you work at Carter's." And so I still wasn't sure how much she was with me. And so I said, "Mom, we just celebrated New Year's. I don't remember what year it is." And she looked at me and she said, "Yeah, of course it's 2016. And I go, "Sorry, Mom, you really," she really had her mind to the very end. And I remember, but again, her selflessness, because I remember the day before she passed away, the hospice nurse came and said, it's close. And I had this urge. She had encouraged me to go and tell her, "It's okay if you go, Mom." And so I hadn't quite said that to her in those plain words. And so I went downstairs and I said, "Mom," I said, "I know it's hard, but it's okay. You can go and to be with Jesus." And she couldn't talk at that point, but she had this furrowed look on her brow. And I knew exactly what that furrowed look on her brow was. She was worrying about me. Was I going to be okay? She had said to somebody a couple of days before that, I'm not sure that Aaron's going to be able to take care of all of it. And I said to her, "Mom, I'll be okay. Jesus will help me. We'll get through it." And she had peace. After that, it seemed that furrowed look on her brow went away, and she was able to rest that night, and she went to sleep with Jesus that night. So that brings me to the final word that my mom's life reminds me of, and that is Jesus. Jesus. I remember we thought that she was going to pass away about 5 or 6 nights before she actually did. And once that Saturday night, we'd gathered the children around and we sang one of her favorite songs, "Jesus Loves Me." And at that point, I lost it. And I just couldn't hold it together. And I said to my mom, I said to her, "Thank you, Mom, for showing me Jesus." She showed me Jesus by her life, and she showed me Jesus by her words. And you see, my mom knew that she was a sinner. Every one of us, we need to come face to face with the truth that we are sinners, and we need a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, it was because of the simple gospel that my mom believed in, simple childlike faith. She knew that Jesus had died for her. She knew that Jesus had took her sins upon the cross, took her sins away, and she knew that Jesus had given her His righteousness. And she believed that, and because of that, she had peace. Do you have peace? Do you have joy? It's hard. Yeah, it's hard. Life is hard. So many things in life that are hard, but she had peace, and you can have peace in your life and in your death through the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember I hadn't prepared as well as I should because time flew so quickly for us for her funeral, and I asked her that morning when she was talking about decorating, I asked her, "Hey Mom, what are some of your favorite hymns?" And the first one that she mentioned was "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Please turn to that hymn, number 186. "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died," she quoted those words, "my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." Number 186. Let's stand together, please.
cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. That charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. See from His head, His hands, His feet. Sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too demands my soul, my life, my all. Amen.
I sincerely leave you with this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you peace, now and forevermore. Amen.